I guess that was some fun garbage time minutes last night, but it just felt kind of wrong that, you know, two of the last games we didn't even get to watch meaningful basketball, really.
Yeah, we saw a lot of backup minutes, a lot of Nikhil, a lot of Frank. Both of those guys set some records last night, some career highs for them, but that's not what Pels fans really wanted to see. In actuality, this was really over six games in, and probably, if we're being honest with ourselves, before that. What do you think was the single most disappointing thing from the bubble itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really obvious answer. It's just the effort. You know, when you know going into a situation, like, we have a really good chance to make the playoffs, and all we have to do is play well for eight games, you know, 6-2 or 5-3, you know, probably gives you a chance. And you just, I mean, they came out completely flat in three of the first six games, I thought. I mean, I thought there were legitimate questions about the effort, you know, against the Clippers, against the Kings, really in three of the first six. And that's just hugely disappointing. Like, there's just so much buildup. You know, I was complicit in hyping them up, I guess. And it really, I mean, it couldn't have been more disappointing.
Yeah, you know, they go 2-6 in the bubble. If they would have gone 6-2, like some people thought, they would have been in the play-in game. Right now, they would have been just ahead of Memphis at 35, 34, and 38. So, still disappointing overall. Yesterday was kind of a time for us to really start looking at the stats and the end-of-year stats and career highs for this guy and things of that nature. You have a really good article on Nola today, the five numbers that really define the Pelicans' season. You started that talking about their free throw percentage, 72.9. Only two guys. This blew my mind when I saw this last night. Only two guys shot better than 75% from the free throw line last night. J.J. Redick, who you probably expected, and then Brandon Ingram, who, if you look at the numbers in history, probably didn't expect, considering he was a 65% free throw shooter before that. What are some of the other numbers that really jumped out to you when you sat back and looked at the stats?
Well, first of all, I like when you say things of that nature. It reminds me of your ESPN coworker, Stephen A. Smith. Yeah.
It's in the handbook. You have to. I have to say it once in appearance.
That's a phrase the ESPN talent really leaves out. Things of that nature. Well, other things of that nature besides the free throw percentage. I mean, it's really weird that they were such a horrible free throw shooting team, and like, they were actually a pretty good 3-point shooting team. That was definitely something that I didn't expect. I think they were seventh in 3-point percentage. Obviously, Lonzo and B.I., you know, made huge strides in that department. The other thing was probably how bad they were in crunch time. You can make a really strong case that they were just, you know, the worst team in the NBA in close situations. I mean, I think they played something like 140 minutes in the final 5 minutes when the score was within five, and they got beat by like 101 points. It was just really, really rough for them. And, you know, I've said all year that they're kind of a team, like, I think part of the reason they're so frustrating, besides, like, they just had all this talent on paper that didn't always translate, is that they're good at a lot of hard stuff, but they're bad at a lot of easy stuff. Yeah. Like, they'll, you know, Lonzo and Zion will just, like, hook up in a 60, 70-foot alley-oop. Like, that was, you know, every game there in the spring when they got rolling. But then, you know, the next possession, Drew Holiday will come down and, like, throw it 10 feet over the guy's head out of bounds. It's just stuff like that. Like, you expect, you know, an NBA team to be able to make free throws. Only two guys above 75% is kind of insane.
Yeah, and you made the good point. Usually, when you're a good 3-point shooting team, you're going to be a good free throw shooting team. That those things typically go together. That didn't correlate for the Pelicans, and it's kind of a head scratcher when you look at the bottom of the standings. You know, the teams who are in the bottom three in free throw percentage this year were the Lakers, the Pelicans, and the Knicks. Pel shot nearly 37% from three. Lakers shot 31.6, and the Knicks somehow shot 28.4, which I didn't even think could still be. I'm sorry, that's the attempts per game. You look at their percentages, it's 34.9, 33.7. No one else, Pel shot 37%. You have to go all the way up to 15th in the league to see someone who shot as well on three, but their free throw percentage wasn't that their 3-point percentage wasn't that good. So it's kind of mind-boggling that that's where they struggled. But as you said in the article, it is not all doom and gloom on that side. Give me a number that you liked. Maybe talk about the one you put in the article, and then maybe another one that you didn't have room for.
I mean, I think if you're like looking at positives, I mean, you can. I mean, this team, you know, before the pandemic shut everything down, like, they were in a really strong position to make the playoffs. I mean, they were a different team afterwards. And, you know, Zion just barely played. I mean, for them to, I guess, be within spitting distance of the playoffs until the very end, and for him to only play in 24 games in his rookie year, I mean, I guess that can be viewed as a positive. Like, I mean, I would expect him to play a lot more than 24 games next year, and if he doesn't, you know, something went wrong. So, I mean, I think that's probably, you know, kind of the one of the biggest stories of the offseason. There are a couple, but what kind of shape is Zion going to come back in? And I just think it's so interesting because, you know, at any time, you know, we see, like, true greatness or a true star, like, it requires that player, you know, overcoming some adversity. And I think with Zion, you know, he's kind of been a media darling for the past years, and deservedly so. You know, I don't think that's just media hype, but, like, this is the first time we're, like, since he's been at the start of Duke that I've really seen some media kind of, you know, scrutinizing him a little bit. And, yep. You know, I think it's deserved, but, like, how is he going to bounce back from that?
That's a really good point. Is he's really been, for the most part, other than maybe Duke hate just that comes from people not liking Duke, has pretty much been universally praised ever since he was, you know, a sophomore in high school. In high school it was the, all right, he's doing this against, you know, not as good competition. Can he do it at Duke? And then he does it there. And then when you look at his raw numbers, he did it in the NBA. I mean, he, as bad as they were in the bubble, his plus minuses were still, through the roof, tops on the team on court and on off. So, that is a good point. How is he going to respond to adversity? And I think that's going to be a big thing. Is, you know, yes, he looked good in that picture, the mask on picture where he's in the weight room right after dropping weights. But I really do think the 13 days of non-basketball activity for somebody like Zion probably affected him a little bit more than it would affect me or you if we were trying to go out, or Jordan. For instance, if he was trying to go back out and do anything after 13 days. So that's going to be a big thing for me, is how he reacts to that. I think he will react positively. I think he started talking about, you know, in our, I guess, exit interview with him. That was an exit interview that lasted all of 5 minutes, thanks to how fast Zion answers questions. Zion said that he's going to work on his body. Wouldn't elaborate on what. But I think just hearing him say that has to give you a little bit a cause for optimism heading into the offseason, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he didn't say a whole lot, and I don't take that as a positive or a negative. I mean, just, you know, some guys just, like, don't want to divulge, you know, all of their offseason plans to the media. And, like, I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, it would make for, like, a lot better story if it did. but, yeah, I mean, the proof is going to be in the pudding, what he just looks like, you know, when he shows up. Whenever next season begins, I mean, you can just turn on the tape of what he looked like, you know, especially in those bubble games on defensive end versus what he looked like at Duke. He was an incredible defender at Duke. He just didn't, you know, force turnovers the way he did in college. And, you know, there's going to be a natural adjustment period going from college to the NBA, but I just don't think he could move the way he did in college and move the way he wanted to just because of the fitness level. And so you're absolutely right that he's just a different specimen. Like, he's not a normal NBA player. I mean, it, you know, 13 days off is going to affect him in a strange way. But I hope this was, you know, a little bit humbling for him. I mean, it wasn't even just like local media, I would say. It's like, you know, poking the biggest holes in what he did in the bubble. Like, it was kind of like fellow NBA players clowning on him the most for what I saw. I mean, I saw like Jalen Rose, like, cracking jokes at halftime of that ABC game, and like Reggie Miller's just like straight up saying on the broadcast, like, hey, he needs to lose like 20 or 30 pounds. I don't know, like, the specifics of what his plan is or anything like that, but, like, you would hope that really lights a fire, is, like, you know, guys who are really successful in the NBA, like, kind of ragging on you.
Yeah, it's you would think, and I do think that Zion has that kind of makeup and kind of build that he will bounce back. Real quick, before we head to break, I can't let you get out of here without making fun of you for Peanut Butter Melly Time, which is the worst nickname I have ever given to, given to somebody in the NBA. Outside of Peanut Butter Melly Time and Zion, who's the player you're most looking forward to watching next season?
Yeah, I want to see what Nicolo Melli wears for Halloween, because I'm hoping it's a banana outfit.
If Nicolo Melli wears a banana outfit and does the song, I don't think we're going to be able to fit your ego inside the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, I mean, I already had an enormous ego. It's going to be it's going to be terrible for you guys, frankly, if that does happen. I think I'm most curious about Lonzo Ball. Like, this was such a weird season for Lonzo. I mean, you can, on one hand, like, he did get better at some stuff. Like, the three-point shooting, I think, was fairly real. And I think that because he changed his form. I mean, he was shooting the ball on the left side of his body, and this year he's shooting on the right side of his body. I mean, I'm kind of a believer in, you know, the strides made working with Fred Vincent. I mean, on the other hand, you know, he's still a pretty horrible free-throw shooter. He's still, you know, when he's bad, he kind of just floats through games. I'm hoping this is going to be a wake-up call for him, too. And, you know, we saw kind of some of his frustration spill over into social media. He said, you know, I think the Bleacher Report, like, post my numbers next year, too. You know, and I think, like, that's fine. But, you know, back it up. Let's see it now.
All right. Christian Clark, NOLA.com, The Advocate, The Times-Picayune, Gambit, any other publications they run. I'm Andrew Lopez, filling in for Gus. Thank you for having. Thank you for joining us, Christian. He's joining the intern. We'll be right back after this break.
Shop the summer clearance event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. See the great deals on the new 2020 Ram 2500 Limited Mega with $6,518 off MSRP, or the new 2020 Ram 1500 Longhorn with $9,084 off MSRP. Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. WAC excluded TTNL. CCAP bonus must finance with Chrysler Financial. Non-prime must have beacon score of 620 or less. LD truck owner loyalty must own an LD pickup.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Call today and be cool tonight. Crescent AC and Heat will save you time, money, and sweat this summer. One call does it all. Crescent AC and Heat will clean your AC condenser and do a full check of your AC for only $49. You heard right, $49. Call the best for less this summer. Crescent AC and Heat at 504-777-1234. That's 504-777-1234. And remember, go Tigers.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today, or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
El Paso Mexican Grill would like to say thank you to all of their customers. They are now open for dine-in and fantastic authentic Mexican food. Stop by and enjoy their daily lunch specials or dine in for dinner as well. El Paso Mexican Food in Raceland on Highway 1 has the best food on the bayou. Great Mexican food from their family to yours. So don't cook tonight or settle for fast food. Give El Paso Mexican Grill and Cantina a call today. 985-664-1411.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat.
Welcome back, ESPN New Orleans 100.3. This is a Sports Hangover. I am not Gus. I apologize for anyone who is clamoring for their Gus fix at 2:15 15 on a Friday afternoon.
You're not Larry either.
I'm also not Larry Holder. That is correct. I am not Larry Holder, the guy who sat in this chair for 2 hours prior to me. He is Jordan the intern. I am Andrew Lopez, ESPN.com. If you want to call in, 800-998-1003. But let's go right now to the phone lines. We have Marlon Favorite right now. First off, before I get into this, I saw you talk on another show today, and you said that LSU could have beat half the LSU team in 2019 could have beat half
good,
the NFL.
But I have a story.
I think so, man. At least 10 teams.
At least 10 teams.
At least 10 teams. That LSU team, that full team in its entirety, I think would have beat a decent amount of the NFL. Yes.
How much?
It's a bold statement, but.
It is. That's a very bold statement. How much of that has to do with Joe Burrow?
A lot of it has to do with Joe Burrow. A good bit of it. And Jamar Chase, and Terrence Marshall, and Ed Ogeron, Dave Aranda, Joe Brady. Like, look at these guys. Like, Joe Brady, he's going to be coaching in the NFL. You think he's going to run a different offense? If you look at the margin of what we beat the best college team, and if you look at the players in the NFL and where they played at the year prior till they started to ball in the NFL, it was somewhere in the SEC. And we beat the brakes off of everybody. That LSU football team beat the brakes off of everybody. So I think those athletes and that coaching staff could beat the Detroit Lions, could beat the Miami Dolphins last year, could beat the Bengals last year, could beat the Browns last year, could beat the Jets last year, could beat Arizona last year. Could keep going, but I guess our listeners guess what we're talking about. Hello, somebody.
They know. Let me ask you this. You played – defensive line in the NFL. You played it in college. That, I guess, to me is whenever somebody talks about a college team beating a pro team, I always look at the lines. It seems like the lines are just so much bigger, and it looks like they're going to just be so much more dominant. Like, if you played 7-on-7 with these guys and you just let the offensive weapons work, I'd watch that. But it comes down to those lines. How do you think that matches up then in this scenario?
The lines, well, the game is won and lost inside the trenches, Andrew, and I would say those LSU defensive linemen last year and their offensive linemen last year, like Caleb is going to start in the NFL this year. He's going to go against that type caliber of talent. So I think the LSU's defense and offensive line of that 2019 team has enough strength and enough grit to sustain an NFL defense and offensive line. Now, I'm just speaking from a guy who came from the SEC, who when I went to the NFL didn't see a major difference in regards to talent. In regards to actual strength and conditioning, I felt like my years at LSU conditioning and training and getting ready and on a very tough, challenging weekend was tougher than the NFL, straight up.
Marlon, let's kind of transition to this LSU football season. If it does happen, it looks like the SEC is going to go through and it's going to be one of the conferences that does play football this year. Miles Brennan, what is the transition from Joe Burrow to Miles Brennan going to be like?
Well, I think we can't allow ourselves to put that type of pressure on that kid to perform just as well as Joe Burrow did. I mean, that was just one of those scenarios where, Jordan, if you look at the grand scheme of things, LSU had it. I mean, it was just a good marriage between Joe Burrow and that LSU's offense and everything that happened. But you look at what Miles Brennan, he's been there learning, observing, developing the last 3 years. His roommate the last two of those 3 years was Joe Burrow. So he watched Joe prep before the game. He watched Joe, you know, him and Joe shared a room when they traveled with the team. So those conversations, you know, watching Joe, how he takes care of his body and how he does things before the game. All of that stuff, it naturally happens. Give you an example, right? Myself, Glenn Dorsey, Tyson Jackson, Charles Alexander, like all of us, our first 2 years, we didn't get a lot of playing time. As a matter of fact, Miles Brennan, at the point he is right now, got more burn. At the point he was on year two, got more burn than me, Glenn, and Tyson in year two. But what that allowed us to do is develop, to become a better college player, to get stronger, to have a better understanding of the college flow and a better feeling of the playbook. So when we did become starters, my redshirt sophomore year, junior and senior year, and for Glenn had 2 years. He didn't have that extra year like me and Tyson. We were already developed and ready to roll. So Miles Brennan. I'm not looking for Joe Burrow, but I am looking for a quarterback that is much more developed.
Marlon Fay right on the line right now at BigFay504 on Twitter. Go follow him. Let's talk about this season and where do you stand on whether or not we should even be playing college football in the fall this year?
My health and safety concern does pick up more than anything else. That's my biggest concern. Like, hey, we stopped school, we suspended sports off just a few cases. We have now quadrupled those numbers, and it's just one of those situations, to be quite honest with you guys. I would want to know what the safety plan is first. Like, how is this going to be managed? What's going to happen with these players? I do know that the folks that are in place have a lot of money, so they can afford to test their students around the clock, to do all of that stuff. So that's the side that concerns me the most as far as getting the season started. Now, do I want to see some football? Well, heck yeah, I definitely want to see some football. But under a unrealistic umbrella, no. But with that being said, I do believe that the SEC will play, the ACC will more than likely play, and the NFL is going to play. Just off the simple fact they could play. They could. I'm saying that with the thought of once we get to that point, they'll have this piece of it figured out in terms of health logistics with the health and safety. But I want to see it. But at the rate we're going right now, we may only see maybe one or two of those entities play, including the NFL, and everybody else is just probably going to have to wait till next fall, to be honest with you. Like, everybody's saying right. Spring. I don't think spring ball happens. I do think that drags to next fall.
Because I'm such a nice guy, I'm going to let Jordan, the intern, get an unprecedented second question
wow.
in right now.
I feel honored.
Jordan, go ahead and ask him.
Marlon. So along those same lines, going to the NFL, your Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, has stated that they are going to play in front of fans this season. Just give me your take on your Dallas Cowboys making that remark, their owner making that remark, and just your thoughts on it.
I'm a little disappointed with Jerry. I mean, he's always made those out-of-bounds comments, but we know where old Jerry's mind is. Basically, on his money, and fans bring money. I don't think that's realistic. I love how down here, at least in New Orleans, we've made the executive decision to say, hey, we're not going to play the first game in that dome. You know, Jerry, hey, well, you know, my dome opens, baby, so all those germs can go out top. But in all honesty, I have been a bit disgruntled with how he's handled things, particularly the kneeling piece. Like, hey, none of my players going to kneel. Like, Jerry, this isn't 1865. People don't go by those rules no more, brother. But again, he's done so much for the sport in regards to capitalizing off the sport. What he's done for the sport is brought that flashiness to that logo, that brand being where it is, even losing all of these years. So I think he's just thinking about that, Jordan, as opposed
right.
to the health and safety of the fans that's actually spending their money to come to the game. And most importantly, bringing fans and the fans bring more exposure to your student-athletes. I'm thinking of the players. To your players and potentially get them sick. So it just – I'm really confused. Like, it's like part of my brain, like, let's play football, but then I have three boys, wife, family, you know, and I'm right. like, hey, this – I was a player – I'd have probably opted out. I'd have took the
150
and kept it going.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Marlon, I appreciate you coming on. Again, follow him on Twitter at BigFay504. Thanks for taking the time for us, man.
All right, fellas, y'all take care. Thanks for having me.
Thank Hello. You, Marlon.
Coming up next, ESPN New Orleans 100.3, the Sports Hangover with not Gus Kattengill. ESPN's Bobby Marks, our front office insider over at ESPN. We're going to talk a little bit of Pels. Actually, we're going to talk Pels pretty much the rest of the show. Pels and NBA. Here we go. ESPN 100.3.
Terrebonne General Medical Center is taking the lead for our community in the fight against COVID-19. We are here on the front lines working for you to ensure the health and safety of our patients and staff. Our team is committed to best practices and the latest advancements in medicine and technology. We have been truly amazed by the unity in our community and are grateful to serve the people of our region. Together, we will get through this. For more information, visit tgmc.com.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Dreaming of buying your first home? What's the first step in getting a home loan? What type of assistance is available? At the Louisiana Housing Corporation, we have answers. Our mission is to help you make the most of your investment with down payment assistance, low interest rates, and tax credits. Attend one of our homebuyer education classes to learn about affordable solutions for Louisiana homebuyers. Let us help you make your dream of homeownership a reality. Contact Louisiana Housing Corporation today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
Hi, I'm Casey Gistler.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
Hey Nola, this is Josh Hart, and we won't bow down. Pelican basketball right here on ESPN New Orleans.
I still think the WBD should have been We Bow Dead, not We Bow Down.
Yeah, I mean, the statement this year was something else. I don't think it went with how the team actually played.
At least we got rid of the drum. That was bad. ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 Sports Hangover with not Gus Kattengill. I'm Andrew Lopez, ESPN.com, sitting in here with Jordan, the intern. Up next, we have ESPN.com insider Bobby Marks joining us. Bobby, how are you doing on this wonderful Friday afternoon?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. I'm enjoying a day off of basketball after so many so many games. Well, I mean, there's games being played. My focus is a little off right now.
Day off. Today, I don't even know if I'm watching. Maybe later, but I needed, after staying up late for that Portland-Brooklyn game and 2 weeks of jam-packed action, I think we all kind of need a little bit of a break here, right?
Just a little bit. I am totally fine with that. I think Toronto and Denver are actually playing right now, so there are actually games going on. There's more actually on ESPN today, so we probably should say that we should probably watch some games because we have a triple header over on ESPN. But let's talk about the bubble in general. Alvin Gentry kind of talked about it last night. Some other coaches have done the same thing of just how impressed they have been with the NBA, and even maybe they were kind of even surprised at how well the NBA was able to put this bubble on.
Yeah, I mean, having worked with the Nets for a long time, and I know it's a little bit of a different circumstance, and having gone to Europe and China and all these foreign lands and how the NBA puts on a production, you knew that it was going to be a no expense type deal here. And having living down here in Florida and being to that Disney campus a lot, it fit the profile as far as what they were looking to do as far as from the hotels and from a game condition. And the big thing was to get buy-in from, of course, the players and the staff as far as guys, leaving campus or, defections. And I think they basically set the tone right from the beginning with that 113-page health and safety protocol that came out in mid-June. But there was so much unknown as far as what the players would be walking into. And, of course, some were hey, I got to be there from mid-July to mid-October, and that, you know, that did scare guys away. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought all along that once you got there in, you know, July 17th and 9th, and if there was no positive tests among the teams, I thought they were just going to be in, they were going to be in good shape because it was going to be hard for people from the outside to come into that bubble environment.
Now that the do you think they're going to be as diligent? Obviously, I'm sure they will be as diligent, but do you think there's any level of concern coming up as they start to open this up to families and things like that that are going to be allowed to come in?
Well, yeah, of course there is. But having seen the memo that came out a couple days ago, I mean, it's basically a scaled-down version of the health and safety protocol of players. I mean, it is. You know, it's you're basically going to have to be quarantined upon your arrival, you know, 7 days, 4 days for some people. You know, the daily testing, whoever comes, the family members are going to be under the same type of rules and regulations there. I think it presents a challenge for certain family members from certain teams because you might get to Orlando and then your husband or boyfriend's team might not even be there when
right.
you're getting out of quarantine because, yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, you're getting there after the first round, so if you're, you know, someone who has a relationship with someone in Oklahoma City or Houston, there's no guarantee that your team, one of those teams will, you know, will be there in round two. So I think it's more designed for probably maybe the LA teams, probably Milwaukee, maybe even Toronto, some of those teams that might be there a little bit later.
Let's talk a little bit of Pels. We'll kind of stay away from the Alvin Gentry situation. We're going to talk about that in the last 15 minutes of the show. But let's talk about some of the decisions that they have to make. This year, we've kind of mentioned on Twitter a couple of weeks ago about Derek Favors or Etuan Moore, where they're going to go. But let's start first with the Brandon Ingram situation. He seems to have earned a maximum contract offer. He should get one of those, but with nobody else to give it to him, how do you think? Well, very limited teams to give it to him. How do you think this plays out?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big offseason for New Orleans. I mean, it was a lot different than last year when Griffin kind of came in and transformed, you know, the roster with Charlie with the AD trade and then signed and drafted. But, yeah, order of business number one is Brandon Ingram. And I've written about it, and I said it kind of checks the boxes when you're looking at players, players coming off their rookie contract. For that next contract, usually you do, you know, you're buying into the future. And I think with Brandon, you know what he can do right now, playing at an all-star level. And you know kind of where there's still upside there, probably on an all-NBA. But on the other side, he's a restricted free agent. And usually what you do is you kind of sit on your hands and let him go out and get an offer from a team. Or you take an aggressive approach on October 18th. The hard part, and you've written about this, is that, you know, it's the teams out there with cap space, if there's four or five teams, you know, there's Atlanta and there's Charlotte and Miami, and Miami looks like they're not going to commit money past next season. We'll see what happens with New York and Detroit here. So I think they have to figure out as far as do we lock them up right off the bat or do we kind of wait? And I think waiting does have a downside because we saw that with Gordon Hayward a couple of, you know, I guess it was four or five years ago, right, in Utah when he went out and got an offer sheet, and it was a four-year offer sheet and the fourth year player option, and Hayward was, you know, they matched it, and Hayward was, you know, a free agent 3 years later, and he was in Boston. So I think where they are cap-wise, if they feel like he is a max player, then you lock him up. You know, you don't kind of let him kind of dwindle during the free agency.
The other big option contract-wise, I guess, before we get into, well, obviously there's possible Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart extensions, but let's talk about Jrue Holiday first. Pelicans really have a decision to make there in, not that their hand is forced or anything, but do you keep and continue to build around Jrue Holiday with these young guys, or do you try and probably trade him where his value is going to be the highest? What do you think the Pels end up doing with the Jrue Holiday situation?
Yeah, Drew's interesting because you know, he's under contract for next season, and he's got a player option for the following year. And I always say technically those type of guys, we count them as expiring contracts. I think the interesting thing is where does the salary cap come in at in 2021-22? Who is going to have room to go out and afford him? He'd have to opt out of $26 million. If it was me, I would look at trying to extend him and to add some years on it. And I wrote about it. I think a number would be comparable to what Kyle Lowry got. I think in 2017 it was like three for 93.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big number. Yeah, that's a big number. But, I mean, he's a heck of a player. I know we could critique a lot of these guys as far as what happened in Orlando here. But that would basically remove that question. If he doesn't want to do an extension, I don't think you need to trade him. But you do have to figure out as far as, you know, from him and his agent, as far as if he feel like he wants to be part of this organization, then you kind of go from there. But, you know, I thought a year ago, if you asked me, I would say, yeah, he's opting out of that number in 21, 22. But now there's so much uncertainty with the economics of the salary cap and going forward, it's hard to leave $26 million on the table when, you know, you don't know if you have a home for you, besides, you know, of course, New Orleans.
We're talking with ESPN.com front office insider Bobby Marks here, ESPN New Orleans 100.3, the Sports Hangover. He's got a great article that explains a lot of these things that we're talking about in depth up on ESPN right now about the Pelicans and the next decisions they have to make. Let's talk about Lonzo. Lonzo was having a really good season once he started to kind of get healthy in December. He looked like a different player. Just in the games he played with Zion, he was averaging 13, 8, 7, and about 2 steals a game while shooting over 40% from 3. Maybe it's recency bias, but I think a lot of Pels fans are a little upset right now with how he played, especially because of how the effort level maybe he had in the bubble, which didn't look optimal, and he just had some really, really bad numbers. He still ended up shooting up 37% from 3 for the year. Even his free throw percentage, which is still 56.6%, was still a 15% jump from where he was a season ago. The biggest thing, and I've talked to you about this before, I've talked to front office people, I've talked to agents, no one seems to really know what a Lonzo Ball extension looks like. How do you try to even begin to set up what something like him would look like?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league, this is year 3 right now. You know, certainly year 1 and 2 was the, you know, it's been injury marked, right? So it was hard to evaluate him in those 2 years in L.A., and like up to the stoppage in mid-March, I mean, he was rolling. I mean, when Zion got back in January, I mean, he was playing at such a high level across the board here, and he struggled. I mean, he struggled big time in New Orleans. So I think if you're Griff, you probably got to evaluate, of course, what happened between October and March, and then well, also the past 2 weeks here. Do you want to see more from Lonzo Ball? Right, you don't have to, extend him. You can let him play out here, and then he becomes a restricted free agent like Brandon is right now. I think for me is I would look to extend him, but not probably at an offer that he would appease him. So that means it's probably something like the way that Deontay Murray got extended, right? I mean, Murray was coming off an ACL, and they're buying stock into his future, and that was for $64 million. You're looking at a cap hit of $14, $15 million. And if you're probably Lonzo's camp, you're probably going to decline that. But I think you probably put some guaranteed money out there and see where he does. And if he doesn't, then you play out the year and you see what happens next year. And he might have a great year. And, you don't have to do anything with him because he's restricted free. I think the guy, if you ask me, between him and Josh, who is the likely guy to get an extension, it's probably the guy who's picked later in the first round.
Yeah.
Pick 20, I guess 27 with Josh, because I think you can get him probably on a 4-year, $50 million contract, $52 million, kind of like what Marcus Smart maybe got a couple years ago. Because he is, I said it right from the beginning, like, you know, you need him on the court. He does. There's so many good things. You know, the stats don't say it all the time, but he is a solid blue guy who can, he'll be in the league for a long time.
Biggest thing I think about Josh Hart, kind of spoke to him last night when the Pels play. All these starters are sitting out. Lonzo sits out. Drew sits out. Zion's obviously already out. Favors doesn't play. JJ doesn't play. Brandon Ingram doesn't play. And Josh Hart's right there starting, playing 36 minutes, putting up 23, 11, and 6. But if you can lock him up for Marcus Smart money, I think that's a really good idea. But like you said, for me, it's going to be hard if I'm in Lonzo's camp to take DeJounte Murray money when Buddy Hield just got, almost 90. So, ESPN.com front office insider Bobby Marks, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time out, man.
Thanks, Andrew. Talk to you.
All right, thank you. He is Jordan the intern. I'm Andrew Lopez, ESPN.com. This is ESPN New Orleans 100.3, the Sports Hangover. We got one more break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jarrett Roser. What are we going to talk about? I don't know, but we're going to talk to Jarrett Roser. We'll be right back.
common, their sails are in sight.
Since 1948, 71 years, Hilario Brothers has been in the commercial fishing and shrimping supply business, stocking a large selection of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches, hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets, hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, super winches, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. They offer a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire, stocking nylon, plastic, and Nautilus webbing. You heard about that new webbing, Platina and Nautilus Dyneema. Hilario Brothers has some of that too. Hilario Brothers stocks shark tail netting. It's reinforced with stainless steel wire. They stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers. Also a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin, gel coat, and supplies. Lost an anchor? They've got anchors in stock from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Visit Hilario Brothers before the season starts. Hilario Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego. Call 504-341-1843. Visit their website, HilarioBrothers.com.
Tired of your current vehicle? Ready for something fresh? Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma is having a trade-in sale.
Trade-in sale.
Even though you don't like your current vehicle, they want it. And we'll give you the low Greg LeBlanc Toyota pricing.
Plus, give you more for your trade.
Bring your trade and upgrade to the new 4Runner, Tundra, Camry, or Highlander you've been wanting.
Get started now.
Shop at GregLeBlancToyota.com, where your satisfaction is their number one priority. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
When you need them, your local volunteer fire department routinely answers the call. Whether it be a fire, traffic accident, or a cat stuck in a tree, there is always someone there for you. However, because of declines in memberships, departments are becoming understaffed and struggling. Here's how you can help your neighbors and your community. No matter what skills you may possess, you can make a difference. Your local volunteer fire department desperately needs your help. Can you direct traffic? Install a smoke alarm. Help at fundraisers. Your community needs you. You don't have to fight fire to be a volunteer. Will you make that difference? Will you answer the call? Brought to you by the National Volunteer Firefighter Recruitment Center, a program service of the Volunteer Firefighter Alliance. For more information on how you can help and make a difference, visit www.nvfrc.org. That's www.nvfrc.org.
The NBA on ESPN Radio. The last game of the regular season restart for LA and OKC as Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers take on Chris Paul and the Thunder.
Here's Kawhi Leonard, circles to the right and knocks home a three.
How about that?
Wow.
CP3 will shoulder the load for OKC as they wrap the regular season and prepare for the postseason.
Chris Paul's one of those guys. He's the quintessential floor general.
The Clippers, the Thunder. Friday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Presented by Indeed.
ESPN New Orleans 100.3, the Sports Hangover. I am not Gus Cattingale. I am Andrew Lopez, ESPN.com. He is still the number one intern, and I don't mean it numerically. He is Jordan. On the line right now, let's go to Jarrett Roser of, what are you of right now? Tiger Details slash Rivals Network slash what else? What else? What else do you do for a living?
Oh, man, Jarrett Roser of Jarrett Roser's Condo Complex. But, yeah, Tiger Details on the Rivals Network, doing my Louisiana versus all y'all thing. And
really, oh, yeah, go hit that subscribe button. Hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, get those YouTube subscribers up for some of these Louisiana guys who aren't going to end up on our
Tiger details coverage if they're, you know, they're not LSU guys, but still doing some big things. Do a little bit of stuff for Go Preps and just really staying involved as much as possible through, obviously, weird times.
Weird times indeed. And the weirdest thing is probably that we, you and I sat on my couch yesterday and we watched NBA basketball be played in Orlando to help decide the playoffs because of this NBA bubble. Let's go into this real quick. Who is your all NBA bubble team? I had to submit an official one to ESPN. I don't get to be on the actual voting. That's all the people who actually are in Orlando, so I don't get there. But I do have to be – I did submit mine into ESPN.com. So I'll get into my team after this. So you go first, and maybe we'll let Jordan the intern have a chance too.
Oh, that's nice. I've been very impressed, more so than anything, with several guards that I'm sure y'all have talked about at some point, and it seems like everyone is. And so – as I try to figure out sort of an all-bubble team, any time this has crossed my mind, I keep coming back around to this heavy of guards with obviously everything Devin Booker did for Phoenix and having those guys right on the cusp of potentially making the playoffs with the great run that they had through the bubble. Dame Lillard, obviously a guy that I've enjoyed since college, went out there and did what he does at a very – focus and steady pace
My second favorite what if of New Orleans Pelicans, a New Orleans Hornets basketball history.
I thought about this the other day because if he hadn't had such a great pre-draft process when he was coming out, I really, really was hoping he would fly to that second pick in that year's draft.
You can still go back and find, if you search 2012 mock drafts, there's a good bit of mock drafts that I think, even like a week into the draft, had Damian Lillard at number 10 instead of Austin Rivers, and Austin Rivers was going higher, and then Austin dropped. Jordan is saying bad words right now, so I'm glad that his mic is off, as I think he realizes this. But, yeah, just think about if Dame and AD could have been together.
I think about that way more than I productively should. but I was thinking yesterday if you could have had one of AD or Dame, if you ask a lot of New Orleans fans right now, still as fresh as the AD drama was, that certainly a lot of answers would say they'd take Dame over AD. I don't know. I think that's a more interesting conversation to have, maybe a little bit farther removed from everything that went down there. But Dame's obviously having a great career and had a great bubble. And I think those two guys, TJ Warren, Luka, are probably first four that stand out. But if you're putting together a team, bubble team, I don't know that you don't need a couple of front court players. And so I think maybe take Giannis, Michael Porter Jr., Booker, Dame, and Luka, and TJ Warren somehow gets left off despite being as exceptional as anyone for stretches out there.
I think when I submitted mine, I went Dame, Devin, Luka, James Harden, and TJ Warren, and I said, we're not playing traditional basketball. We're just going to go spread the floor and shoot threes. That was my team. I didn't vote for a big. I just said, you know what? Screw it. We're just going to shoot threes on this team because I think that's a pretty good lineup. If I got to go inside, I send Luka in. I send James Harden in. TJ Warren can post somebody up. Jordan, what do you have? Jordan, you have 10 seconds to say this.
What I'm going to say is I agree with everything that y'all have said so far. I have nothing to dispute.
Five.
I'm just going to now talk
six,
randomly so I could
seven,
fill in the rest of my time because I agree
nine,
with
ten,
everything that y'all said.
Poor Jordan.
If you give me positionless options, I move TJ in there over Michael Porter Jr., but I leave Giannis alone over Harden.
The NBA team that we voted for on ESPN.com, which you can go look at all of our bubble awards, our team was Dame, Devin, Luka, TJ Warren, and then Giannis. So pretty close to what we did there. Before we get off, I didn't think we were going to talk LSU baseball, but you just left a Paul Mainieri LSU baseball press conference, which are always my favorite because they always last at least 80 minutes, I feel like. This one doesn't seem to have gone as long as usual, maybe because we don't know what football or baseball or any sport looks like in the fall. But just give us a brief synopsis of kind of what Paul Mainieri had to say today.
Yeah, it was right at an hour, and I guess there's only so many times before he even gets those guys into fall practice here in a few weeks that he can talk about how they're focused on remaining optimistic and not letting a lot of the outside stuff get to them. And, moving forward with their spring schedule intact as best as they can hope for right now, but understanding how quickly everything can change in the world right now. But, I mean, Paul was very optimistic about this team. He talked about sort of the way that they ended the spring, season best five-game win streak early in that season when it was cut short in mid-March, and they'd won 9 of their last 11 and get the vast majority of that team back. Plus, he thinks as good of an incoming class as he's had during his time in Baton Rouge, which is certainly saying quite a bit. They obviously lose a couple notable bats, including guy Daniel Cabrera that everybody in South Louisiana that cares about baseball has known for quite a while now. But most of the pitching staff still intact and bringing in some guys. The fact that the major league draft was only the 5 rounds this year, a lot of guys that would not have ended up in college are now preparing to start their fall practice. And so coach is really, really optimistic about how his pitching staff looks right now and how that'll come together. And even despite losing some of the notable bats from last year, he feels good about having quality and multiple guys of quality at every position in the lineup. And so right now they're just ready to kind of stay healthy, get something started, have some fall ball for a little over a month, and kind of see how they sort some of those guys out and prioritize them in the lineup, and just hope things around them continue to progress and set the table for a better spring than what they saw this past spring or even potentially where we are right now.
Jarrett, I appreciate you taking the time. I think I'll see you in a couple weeks, buddy.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll talk about that later. That is all the time we have today on ESPN New Orleans 100.3, The Sports Hangover. I am not Gus Kattengill. I am Andrew Lopez. That is Jordan, the intern. Jordan, you have 10 more seconds to say something. One,
I really
two,
do appreciate you and Larry
three,
filling
four,
in for Gus today.
Five.
It was much of
six,
a help, but thank
seven,
you so much to both of you.
8, 9, 10. Thank you for listening, guys. That'll
You're
do it for us.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.